Conversations on Climate Change series, The World Won't Wait, Conversations on Climate Change. This podcast is about climate justice. I'm Emily Alexander, Mike Cairns Environmental Sustainability Fellow at West Nottingham Academy. And we have a lot of faculty and students here ready to talk to you about this.
Hi everybody, I'm Virginia Kennedy, Director of Sustainability at West Nottingham Academy. So as Emily said, we're excited. We have teachers and students on this podcast to talk about the notion of environmental justice, specifically climate justice. We've talked in West Nottingham Academy over the last year, as we've looked at our environmental program, about the idea of justice and equality versus equity. We talk about all things being equal, but equality doesn't necessarily always get us where we need to go, because people start at different points, people have different advantages and disadvantages. So if you give two people who don't have equal circumstances equal opportunities, the person with less circumstances is starting further back from that starting line. So really the word we're after when we talk about environmental justice and climate justice is equity. How do we make life equitable? And when we talk about the challenge of climate change, which we know is an urgent one, we can make the environmental changes we need and make life more equitable for all peoples if we do this right from the beginning. And that's where I will turn it over to our podcast guests here today. They're going to take a minute to introduce themselves, and then we'll get this conversation started.
My name is Maciek, and I am a junior originally from Poland.
Hi, my name is Sarah Lockett. I'm a sophomore at WNA.
Hi, my name is Jayla. I'm a sophomore here at WNA.
Hello, my name is Trinity, and I'm a senior here at West Nottingham Academy.
Hello, I'm Bergeline Lazier, and I'm a senior at West Nottingham Academy.
Hi, I'm Laura Ullert. I'm the French teacher here, and I also run the outdoor adventure program after school.
I think it's important to emphasize equity and climate justice rather than equality, looking at how systematically people of color are affected by climate change more than people who tend to have more resources and more privilege in society and cities and suburbs as well.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to always, I guess, talk about it, especially because often the people who are, I guess, hurt the most, especially by climate change, are the ones which can do the least, and the people who are hurt the least or are going to be hurt last are the ones who can actually bring real change. So it's always to emphasize that often if you can bring change, you're often not really affected by it as much as a lot of people, because you have that, I guess, privilege.
Yeah, there's that common saying, you know, with great privilege comes great responsibility. If you can do it, you should. But there's also a lot of groundswell of activity from communities who are empowering themselves. You know, they're not waiting for somebody else. What are your perspectives on what have you learned about that?
Well, a few weeks ago, we had Ron Webb from the Greens Game come and talk to us. So just hearing about how his organization started and what they're doing is really amazing just to hear. Personally, I live about 30 minutes away from D.C., and knowing that he's doing such great work in the area is really like good to know for not only me, but for people around me.
And with Ron Webb, he influenced me to like go back home to New Jersey and maybe start something of my own, maybe in college or after college, like maybe start a composting program in my city, because we don't really have that.
I go down to Baltimore quite a bit. It's about an hour from here. And one group that I've that's kind of gotten onto my radar is Tree Keepers of Baltimore. And it's just a group of just people down in Baltimore that get together on the weekends and they plant trees around Baltimore, and they really do it to reduce pollution, but also the temperatures get so hot in the summer, and so they try to find areas where they can, you know, plant a lot to reduce the heat coming off of the pavement. And it's, you know, they have little kids out there helping plant trees every weekend, and then they come through and they maintain the trees and make sure it's going, and they're just everyday people with normal jobs, and it's nice to see something like that, initiative like that, so simple, taking off.
I think the fact that there are initiatives in communities that wouldn't necessarily have them otherwise kind of inspires a larger movement, because seeing action done in a place is going to initiate more action, and I think that's something positive that comes out of action.
I think also, like, back to Mr. Webb, like, it shows how communities are willing to do things to, like, help themselves and help, like, the plan as a whole. So I feel like having the initiative just to help the groups will start a big change because they want to be helped and they want to help.
So that's, I think, a point that everybody agrees on. You know, there's two things that we've talked about now in the first few minutes. The one is that, you know, with great privilege comes great responsibility. If you're privileged enough not to have to worry, you know, where's the next meal for my kids coming from, then you have the time to be participating, as you were saying, Laura, in activities that can help your community. You have that time, you have that ability, and, you know, maybe not binge watching, you know, Game of Thrones for 9 hours on a Saturday. You could be doing something else. But also not presenting disadvantaged communities as having no agency. I think it's important to remember that there's agency. I mean, when there was slavery, one of the things we talk about is, you know, we freed the slaves. As if the uprisings didn't come from human beings who were enslaved and made the decision that we're not going to be enslaved anymore. You know, so even in the institution of slavery, the incredible character and spirit of human beings, their incredible agency, revealed itself. And so I think it's important to remember to not victimize people, to not create victims out of people.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's really, really great that since the, you know, you could say the government and the higher institutions aren't really doing anything to stop the crisis that we're in, it's really, I think, amazing to see that there are so many grassroots movements and movements that are started by completely normal, often very young, often kind of not in power people, and those movements are actually doing something, getting on track, moving forward, which is very surprising, but also amazing to see that even though the people in power can't do anything, there's others which are willing to step up.
Yeah, I mean, look at Greta Thunberg.
Right.
This is a little autistic girl, right? Starts off as a young girl feeling depressed and everything else, and now, you know, they're looking at giving her the Nobel Peace Prize. She's talking to the parliament, she's talking to the UN, right?
I think what's really important is when you talk about climate change or environmental justice in general, you have to make it relatable. So, like, obviously everyone can go outside and everyone is somehow related to the environment, but you have to show people that connection. And when they have that connection, it'll make them care and make them appreciate more. Make them want to, like, take action to preserve their environment.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like it's the grassroots movements are extremely effective, is because often people are very alienated by the traditional forms of change, you know, and seeing a movement which gets started through Instagram and people share it online feels much more closer to home to people who see it, you know, it's something that's not like we should do, but that's something I want to do, something that's cool, something that's, you know, different. And I feel like that's what makes them even more successful, is the fact that they're kind of not traditional, they're different. And I think that's what's even better about them and makes them much more successful.
I mean, you guys mentioned Ron Webb, and one of the things that impacted me that he said was, you know, this is not my lane. This is, I come from Ward 7 in D.C. This is not the lane I'm supposed to be in, right? I'm coming out of the community that I came out of to have become this person who's, you know, who cares about community gardens. And now to go back into those communities and say, listen, this is why you should care too, is tremendously powerful, right? Like you were saying, Emily, giving people investment in understanding why, hey, this is why this works for you. This is why this is healthier for you. Right, again, it's that agency thing.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I think the whole like grassroots, like Maciek saying, it really does like veer towards the importance of like, bringing our youths together, and like and the importance of saying, hey, you know, you may not be able to vote yet, but here's what you can do. Here's what the changes you can bring. And personally, I find that to be really inspiring. This past October, I was able to come in contact with Nadia Nazar, one of the founders of This Is Zero Hour. So like, just being able to find that contact with someone my age doing such great works in the field of climate justice and environmental justice is really, really great personally. And it's good that we have role models like that for even younger youths and stuff like that.
I think it's important for young people to be in action, because otherwise it feels, as a young person, that we may not have an impact in how the world runs, kind of, and like politically how things happen. But like being in action and seeing other people our age in action, having an impact, we can recognize how much we can do, even as a group of four students in a small rural school. But just speaking, acting, shows ourselves how much we can do, and also seeing other people act and speak, and vice versa, we can affect more than ourselves.
I was interested in, and I don't know how you feel about this, Laura, as the other elder, except I'm the way elder. You're gonna put you in the same category as me. But you know what I'm saying. Bill McKibben was talking about being careful not to create generational animus, meaning that young people, people who are starting these movements, the Sunrise Movement, those young people who came to talk to us, Extinction Rebellion, you know, Greta Thunberg, these, you know, all of these, like you're saying, the group that you talked about.
This is Zero Hour,
yeah. Saying, hey, we've got to solve this problem that we didn't make, right? We've only been here a little while. And, you know, you guys had a chance 30 years ago to take action on climate change. You knew in the 80s and the 90s. Right, and here we are, it's 2020 almost, and we haven't taken action. So now it's on our shoulders, and it shouldn't be because of what you did,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're gonna do this, and McKibben was saying that while young people should not be animated, that animus, that kind of generational thing can become destructive.
Yeah, I mean, even I'm in my mid-30s, and I even have to fight against that with my parents, because yeah, it's easy to point blame, but at the end of the day, having that blame and making conflict there is just adding onto the pile of problems that exist. And so I think it's inspiring to see young people take action and care, and particularly to not be scared to speak out. And I think sometimes older generations need to be quiet and listen. So.
Yeah, I think that's important too, for older people to listen, which you're not generally good at, right?
Right.
But I also think staying away from creating, I think you put that in a great way. We don't want yet another conflict. You know, we want to look for allies wherever they exist.
Mm.
Right, so whatever it is we're working on, and I remember just working in my time working in American Indian communities, you know, and you know, talking about racial animus and historical trauma and genocide and things like that, you know, and where do we look for allies, and who do we look at for allies, and what kind of the qualities are we looking for in allies in any fight? So we don't want to dismiss potential allies because, oh, well, you're older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're part of the problem because you're
mm-hmm.
older.
Mm-hmm.
You're part of the problem because you're white. You know, there's a way to make alliances. So what do you guys think about that whole idea of, you know, what are the most impactful ways to make alliances in this fight for justice?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of, like, a great part of it is, like, just educating. Because I know with, like, my parents or, like, my grandparents, they were used to, like, thinking a certain way. And, like, they grew up not believing that climate change was real. And so I feel like just educating that, like, this is actually happening and taking away, like, the noise and, like, focusing in on the actual information that's being presented will help with, like, making sure that everyone's on the same page and bring us towards a certain solution.
I think also recognizing that the problems that we're facing affect all of us, not just a select few, but this is our world, and recognizing that we have to live here and that the changes that come because of climate change are going to affect the entirety of the population.
But at the same time, I think, especially with this new grassroots movement, it's extremely successful at bringing people together, because often these movements are exactly against the, I guess, traditional politics of us versus them, and rather, stress the idea, and I think we should stress the idea even more, that we are coming together to do this, and we're coming together to solve the problems we all face, which I think is a very great, you know, amazing about them, and makes them a little bit different from traditional political jargon, from, you know, that idea that us, because for some reason we are different than them because they want to take something away. So I think these new movements are extremely good at bringing people together rather than splitting them into groups.
They also feel more attainable. I think when you look at, okay, like, politically there's things that I wish would change that would fight against climate change, but that feels like a huge goal to me as a random person in Maryland who votes in every election. But when you're part of a grassroots movement that's in a community and you can see change immediately in your community, it feels much more inspirational and it feels like it can spread and get bigger. But if you go straight to the top, which of course needs to happen, and you have people doing that, and we do all those things in small ways that we don't realize, but sometimes it feels like a weary battle.
Yeah, I think attainability is a really important thing, right? Attainability of goals. And yeah, I mean, there are people out there writing, saying, you know, forget changing your light bulb. We need huge, massive policy change, and we need it yesterday.
Yeah.
If we are going to keep this planet cool enough for human habitation in the next, not next 100 years, in the next 50 years, the next 10 years, is what the UN report said. Right? We have a 10-year window to do something radical here. I think, though, just to kind of refocus us on the word justice and on the word equity, the Green New Deal, for example, you know, however you feel about the particulars of it, the thesis, the idea is we can make this radical change and radically change the situations of people who don't have equity in our society. You know, this, instead of being this, you know, terrifying time of, oh my God, what are we gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
This is a moment when we can radically, systemically change who has access to what, which can be, you know, very exciting and very positive.
So, but at the same time, I feel like that change is, I think, something amazing, but at the same time, that change is also what brings a lot of the opponents of the ideas. I feel like most of the opponents of the, especially the Green New Deal, don't come from the idea that we want to stop anything to stop climate change, because there's very few people who say we want more pollution in the air, but rather a lot of those people are against the other ideas that come through it, which are often so extremely positive. But often there are so many groups which try to fight for everything at once, in a sense. It starts getting messy and starts getting divided. That's why I feel like, you know, often you should need to try to focus in more and say, this is a crisis right now, we need to address right now. So let's, you know, try to do it the right way and try to do it fast without alienating those kinds of people.
That's why I think collaboration is important, because then when you have different ideas, even though you have those different ideas, it might be good to influence the solution. So when you don't have like one type of person trying to solve the whole issue and you have different ideas, it's good for everyone.
Definitely diversity, right? Diversity of ideas, a diversity of experiences always brings different ways of thinking about a problem, different ways of addressing a problem, of coming at a problem. But just to throw back what Monchak was saying, the people who want to sustain the status quo, you know, they've been those same people for 150,000 years, right? Power doesn't like to give up, right? Power doesn't generally cede itself, right? It has to get redistributed from the grassroots up, right? So.
Yeah, I feel like often we, and I think it's really important to portray this as we can solve this issue without like systematic change, because I feel like what we've learned is that within the society, within the system that we live in right now, we're not gonna fix the climate crisis. You know, we can't keep letting huge corporations do anything they want to our Earth. We need to not only, you know, fix the Earth, but we need to do more. We need to actually change the system so that it doesn't benefit just the very few, but it actually is there to help everyone do, you know, the best they can. So I feel like what people, you know, sometimes, you know, they say, you know, voting is enough, but often that's not enough, because that's not going to bring actual systematic change to the world we live in.
Yeah, I think you need both for sure. You need the whole systematic change in order to mandate these policies and forces people to comply, basically, if you have laws making you compost or making you recycle. But you also need the grassroots, because all over history, like, governments have started with a pilot program or some small program, and then has grown from there. So like, we have the food waste diversion, and then it's going out and we're trying to bring it to other schools so that it can be bigger than just us.
Yeah, I always like to tell my students, if you look at American history, and we start with the Declaration of Independence, although, again, because I have spent time with Native Americans, when I use the words American history, I need to say European American history, because American Indian history goes back way before that. But just if we start with the Declaration of Independence, you know, all men are created equal. Well, at the time that was signed, that meant white men with property, right? Mm-hmm. And anybody else who wanted to get access to have a say, it took a grassroots political movement from the bottom up, right? Women's right to vote, civil rights, labor rights, child labor laws, you name it, LGBTQ rights, any group aside from white men with property, so poor people were not included in the Declaration, every group has had to fight from the grassroots to make a change, because power just does not cede itself. And so, yeah, here we are at this moment in history where the structure of power is endangering the very planet that supports us, right? So how do we have this rights movement, a movement that's about equity, and the right of every person and living thing, we aren't the only species here, to have a livable planet. You know, the question of the rights of all of that life against the rights of people who want to sustain the status quo.
Yeah, and I think through that we need to start looking at, especially our environment and the international space, I guess, differently, because I feel like in history always it was, you know, the domestic issues here didn't really matter in the long term through international issues, because there was no way one country could really affect another country. And suddenly we're in a spot where the nations that decide to do something about climate change often lose economically, because there is less investment in those nations, because there's more restrictions. And I think we need to start looking at it differently, not as a competition between everyone like it's kind of been always, and more of a like a completely common issue that there is, that we need to face together, or otherwise we'll all, you know, go downwards in history, not continue to improving ways of life.
I think stressing how historically power has been so homogenous emphasizes the need for diversity to make a change, and emphasizes how people from different backgrounds, people who have different levels of power, different opportunities, different experiences, need to be involved to actually get a movement somewhere. So, and like Maciek said, people need to do everything that they can, whether everything is kind of informing themselves or informing their neighbor, or something larger like implementing something into the government. I think it's important that there needs to be diversity and action.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Power has been homogenous for a long time now, you know, and breaking up that homogeneity and bringing different voices and different experiences to the table, and making sure that getting to the table doesn't require more than what some people have to give, you know, that you don't need to be wealthy to have a voice in your society, to have a voice in your politics. You know, it's a very dangerous place to have gotten ourselves here in the United States, where the more wealth you have, the more power you have in a government that's supposed to be representative of all people, right?
Going back to the education thing, because I think there are opportunities for people to come to the table. They just may not know of those opportunities that they're available to them. Because there's lots of groups and lots of nonprofits going into these communities and helping them make a change, but the people in those communities may just not have access or may not know about them.
And I think
they may be in school or work when those people are coming.
Yeah, and I think that's what's, I guess, so successful about these grassroots movements, you know, because they are mostly made popular through like social media, which gives the voice to a much larger audience at the same time. And I feel like we need to keep doing that, because I feel like that informs people of the big issue. But then the other component is doing something local. Because as we were saying before, you know, if you're part of something bigger, you might not really feel like it's personal, and you need to do it on the local level, you know, some finding a way to starting something if there isn't, and like finding the information, I feel like should be much, much easier than it is now. You know, find some system to get people involved much more simply would, I think, be the most effective way to do that.
Personally, I think it's really important for people not to act like separate the difference between, you know, workplace and school, and then separate it from the community initiatives that could be happening, you know, the Green Scheme and various other grassroots. I think it's important that we identify the environmental justice and climate change within these areas that we do go to for various amount of times throughout our day, you know, sitting out at your desk for a certain amount of time, you know, staring at a computer screen, you know, through that there should also be this way of educating people on the problems of now and how it could affect them, you know, today, tomorrow, or is already affecting them.
Right, because I think that is where you kind of have a Gavin problem, is where people say, oh, I'm recycling in my house, like I'm doing everything possible, air quotes, that I can do, but you know, I'm I'm not going to go and, you know, riot in the streets. And, you know, most people are not, don't have that in them. But showing, being able to show them specifically, this is how your life is already being affected and how it will directly affect you, that's going to inspire someone who otherwise is just going to, you know, recycle plastic water bottles but still buy cases of water bottles.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's, I think that's the a really imperative point. You know, we've stepped into a first in human history where we are actually endangering the organic planet that supports our very existence. And we're doing it while we have enough weaponry around, laying around to blow up the planet, what, 25 times? It's not a good combination to put that kind of pressure on resources for living at the same time that we've created these massive weapons of destruction to take each other out. It's just self-defeating and, you know, practically suicidal when you think about it. And there's so much beauty and creativity and innovation and possibility in people. So I think that's, it's spot on, Laura, is understanding that people think they're limited. You know, I can just recycle this water bottle, but we are not limited. We are not limited, and we should not let anybody express to us that we are. You know, we have tremendous power in just passion and spirit and humanity versus whatever it is that's endangering humanity. So I think that that's a real pivotal point. So we just have about 1 minute left. Does everybody have a final thing they want to say about justice, environmental justice, survival? What?
I think it's just important that we, not only as, you know, a school, you know, I think it's important that we all over the world across, you know, borders and racial and discrimination lines, I think it's important that we all understand we all can be connected to the earth in such an important way that can bring us together closer than we think.
Yeah, and I think it's important that everyone knows, like, regardless of your situation, everyone has a voice, everyone has an equal opportunity to vote and talk to your elected officials and do grassroots organizing and get out there and spread the word. And everyone just needs to know that you can do that. There's nothing, like, everyone has the opportunity.
I feel like we're at, like, a point in time where it's time where we have to, like, stop separating ourselves from, like, each other and separating each other from, like, other people and, like, understand that this is something that affects us all and that it's something that's going to take all of us to, like, try and get back to a point in time where we can feel like we are okay with the human existence, like, continuing on.
All right, well, so the final ideas, the final closing ideas, equity, justice, creativity, working together across any kinds of lines of animosity, empowering everybody in all communities. And for those people who really are just trying to put food on the table, those of us who have spare time to, you know, binge watch Game of Thrones for 8 hours, we need to be out there doing something else because there are just too many important things to do. So, but thank you all for the wonderful conversation today. Appreciate
it.
Thank you.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite platform to stay connected to the podcast. If you like what you hear, rate and review to join the conversations on climate change. West Sonningham Academy would like to thank Armstrong Cable for generously donating our podcasting equipment.
Thank you all.